normal Sunday school lesson and just talk about what this Christmas season is really all about. And just study on the Christmas story for a little bit. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together this morning, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless the day and bless Brother Wade as he's preparing, Lord God, and bless our hearts, Lord Jesus, to receive and to be edified by your word this morning, Lord. We ask your blessing today in your name. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, of course, we know that's the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world. And this time of year, all around the world, people are giving gifts. And let's just, Brother Bram said in a message, he said, Christmas now has changed. The way we take Christmas, if you ever studied it, we are taking the Roman Catholic Church's conception of when Christmas was. Now, I'm not going to read through all of these notes here, but you can kind of skim it if you want to. But the reason Christmas now is on December 25th is because the Romans used to celebrate this festival of Sol Invictus, which was their sun god, on the December 25th. And it said the cult of Sol Invictus was centered in Rome, but it was followed across the Roman Empire. Sol Invictus, the god of the sun, was one of the most important gods, and he symbolized victory as he defeated darkness and rose every morning. Sol Invictus was the patron of Roman soldiers. So you can see how Constantine, when he said when he decided to convert and said he had a spiritual experience, it would make a lot of political sense to just combine these two holidays, the birth of the Son of God, with the date that they were combining, the date that they celebrated the rising of this sun god, Sol Invictus, on December 25th. Brother Bram said, actually, Christ could not have been born on the 25th of December and be according with the scriptures, because there's 30 foot of snow in Judea in that time. So it could not have been shepherds out on the hills and so forth. It had been contrary then to all nature. He came like nature. He came like a little lamb that's born in the spring, last springtime. All the flowers are blooming and everything, and that's when Christ came. Now, Brother Bram, in the Pergamene church age, he said, now notice that Constantine gave special feasts unto the people. They were the old pagan feast, with new names taken from the church, or in some cases, Christian rites were taken and abused with pagan ceremonies. He took the worship of the sun god and changed it to the Son of God. Instead of celebrating on December 21st, which is when they used to celebrate the feast of the sun god, they put it up to December 25th and called it the Son of God's birthday. But we know that he was born in April, when life comes forth, not in December. Now look at that. If you want to see what Constantine looked like, there it is. The church in Rome began formally celebrating Christmas on December 25th in 336 during the reign of the Emperor Constantine. And Christmas didn't become a major Christian festival until the 9th century. Now, there was this guy, saint that the Catholics have venerated, called Saint Nicholas of Myra. That had he did a lot of good deeds, and one of his most notable deeds was he would go around and three sisters that they were going to have to turn to prostitution if they didn't get a dowry for a good husband. So he, around cover of night, he gave them the money to be able to provide for them, and did a lot of other things like that, where he would give gifts in secret without anybody knowing. So he did a lot of good things. And so the Catholics, how they like to venerate dead people and give worship to saints and so forth. So they had this festival on December 6th every year, where they would give gifts in honor of Saint Nicholas of Myra. That's where Saint Nick comes from. Now, the Martin Luther, when he began to had that awakening in the Reformation and so forth, he began to realize we don't need to be doing this. Let's shift the focus of this man. We want to shift it to Christ. So he said Christ is where you get all your gifts from. So let's give gifts on December 25th, not December 6th. And even today in Germany, if you go and see where they'll say they're getting gifts not from St. Nicholas, but from Christkind. And kind is the German word for, you know, like a child, like kindergarten. So they call it Christkind. So the custom of giving to children at Christmas was propagated by Martin Luther as an alternative to the previous very popular gift custom on St. Nicholas to focus the interest of the children to Christ. So Brother Bram said, so as we, this time of the season, as we focus our thinking towards Christmas, it's too bad that we have to allot it to a myth called Santa Claus instead of the real Christmas that it's supposed to be. Many little children in the land today know nothing more than Christmas means a sleigh full of toys and some mystic reindeers bouncing on the house, to only learn later of this myth, to even hurt their faith when it comes to know the true Christmas story. That it had nothing to do with reindeers or a man smoking a pipe with fur around his coat. How would it hurt your faith? It's because we want to tell the truth. We want to tell our kids the truth. And if they find out that their parents told them a lie, then they begin to question the reality of everything else that they've been told. And divine healing, Brother Brown said, and the fact of all the error and everything there is about it, there's something about it that the world tries to make it an Xmas, you know, but God's still got a Christmas in it somewhere, hasn't he? He sure has. He's got something about it, just the very names and the thoughts of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the world's put Santa Claus in his place, sure, but not to the Christian. It's still a Christmas. And aren't you glad this morning that we can do like Martin Luther did and try to divert the people's attention back from Santa, away from Santa Claus and away from Saint Nick and away from veneration of saints and even looking at the Sol Invictus and all those things that the Romans had put in and look straight to Christ. Because that's what it's all about, is about Christ. Now to get to the Christmas story, Jesus said, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So everything in Christ's life was to fulfill the word. And the first thing about Jesus' birth, it fulfilled this scripture in Jeremiah that said, a voice is heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children. Now, if you look on this map, you probably can't see it real good, but just there above Jerusalem in red is a little city right outside of Jerusalem called Ramah. Now, Brother Brown said it had to be just at this time when this murderous King Herod, nothing but a murderer, killed all those little children, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoke of the Lord by the prophet, saying, in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, and they were not. Now you think about in Genesis, I got some notes here that just say, and Rachel died giving birth while on the road to Bethlehem. In the midst of her suffering, the midwife tries to comfort her with the news that she is having another son. And this way her child is both her cause of weeping and her hope for the future. So we've got a story of death, but then there's hope, something to look, a promise to look to. In Jeremiah's day, when he wrote this promise, Rachel was weeping over her children once more because they were being led into captivity and exile near that very same spot where she's buried. But they were comforted with the promise that her children will return. Oh, somebody's not happy. Once again, her offspring are both her cause of weeping and her hope for the future. And in Matthew's day, Rachel weeps yet again, this time over the slaughter of all those children that Herod was trying to kill because there was a child coming, a child of promise. So in the midst of sorrow, there's hope coming forth. Now, Herod raised those taxes. He raised those taxes to force Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem, where the scripture in Micah chapter 5, 2, there's another scripture that's being fulfilled. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. You think about all the grief that little girl had to go through, all the being looked down on, saying that she was living in sin, the situation here that's unfolding, that Joseph was a mature man, and he was a widower. He already had four kids, and he was a just man. And this situation unfolding as scripture is being fulfilled. Brother Branham said she must have told him, this young virgin, beautiful young Jewish maid, she become, we're all adults here as far as I can see, she become to be mother. And Joseph, going with her, noticed this, no doubt. After he was espoused to her, he found out that she was to be mother. Now, he was a just man. The Bible said he was. She must have told him of her innocence. The lovely woman, I can hear, just as it were, to say, Joseph, my beloved friend, my beloved husband, I am innocent of this. And she must have told him of the visit with her and the great archangel, that the archangel had come to her, Gabriel, and had visited her with these great signs that he had told her about, that what was going to happen. And Joseph, being a just man, he kind of wondered, you know, now I know if she's caught in adultery, the first thing is going to happen to her. She's going to be stoned. She cannot. So to Joseph, it seemed like that Mary was trying to get him to be her shield from the scoffers and scorners. See, Joseph was to be her shield. Go ahead and marry her anyhow and be her shield, but not to be a husband to her in the family or relation. God has at all times, all ages, spoke to his people. The scripture says while he thought on these things, he thought on what his actions should be and what the situation was. Or, is this really true? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God has at all times, all ages, spoke to his people and revealed himself by dreams. Now, dreams are not an assurance. Every dream is not from God. Now, there's many people that has dreams and they have all kinds of dreams. And you go to bed at night and eat a big supper and go to bed and you might dream anything. You might have a fever and you might have all kinds of nightmares and so forth. That isn't God. But yet God does deal with people through dreams. If you'll notice when you read this story of how specific God was when he gave this dream to Joseph, there wasn't any need for any interpreting. He was very explicit with what was going on. He knew what God was trying to tell him. A spiritual dream is interpreted, rightly interpreted, is the same as a vision. And what is a vision? A vision is the forecast of future events. It foretells the thing before it happens. And that's the way God always vindicated whether it was true or not, or whether the man that was in the Old Testament was supposed to be a prophet. What he said come to pass. Then they knowed. If this man said this and it kept constantly coming to pass, now that man cannot just be laid hands on him or shook up and give a gift. He is born with that gift, born in him when he's born, before he's born. He pondered on these things. It was so unusual. He could hardly comprehend that. How could those things be? I think maybe if we meditate on these things this morning, this is almost the same situation is unfolding now. That Joseph had a promise that Christ was going to be born, that he was going to be born in a manger. Now there's a promise that Christ is going to be manifest in this day. And, you know, we can ponder about things. How can these things be? But when God comes down and reveals it to you, then you are willing to become a shield to the word. You're willing to take on all the reproach and all the rejection. And you're willing to take on everything that's necessary to see God's word fulfilled. And Brother Bram said he no doubt sat down, prayed over it, studied it in the scriptures. How could these things be? While he was studying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. If you'll just yield yourself to God, God has got many ways that he can reveal himself to you. See, you might not be a prophet. You might not be a teacher. You might not be a Sunday school teacher. You might not be a preacher. But there's ways that God can reveal to himself to you. You see? Isn't that interesting? That while he was studying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Whether it might be dreams, it might be in some other way. If you'll just submit yourself like Joseph did. Somebody was sharing me recently, they were listening to Brother George Smith talk, telling some folks about how if you want to be closer to God, then this, and you know, we don't believe in making New Year's resolutions, but I believe in putting a stake in the ground and saying, I'm going to try to do better. And Brother George said, if you want to, next year, you want to be closer to God, then just say every day, I'm going to just listen to 20 minutes of a sermon and just read one page of the church age book and just read one page out of your Bible. And come back next year and see if you're not closer to God. So you see, while he was studying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And if we'll open ourselves up to God and just submit ourselves like Joseph did, then God will do something in our life. Now then, God sent his angel and revealed it, his revelation of the dream to come to Joseph. He knew there was no mystery in it. There was no mystery in it. The angel came to him in a dream. He saw the angel in his dream. Then when Joseph rose from his sleep, oh, how his heart must have been full of newborn faith. And when God, in any way that he desires to do it, reveals to you the question that is that's in your mind, there's no more doubt. There's no more question about it. It's a revelation. And everything about the gospel has to come by a revelation. Otherwise, we're just probing at it, like Joseph was probing at it. Is this child really something from God or not? And we probe and we hunt. Is this message really true? Is this something that's really from the Lord? But when God comes down and reveals it, then there's no mystery in it anymore. Then you have confidence in it. You know it, just like Joseph knew. He knew enough to have confidence to take on all the reproach of Mary and protect her and be her shield. When a man can be revealed that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter how many creeds try to turn it back, you're glad to be a shield. You're happy to be a shield. Let them say whatever. You got a big shield up there to knock the fiery darts off. And that means they can say whatever. They can say, well, all of these things that the naysayers say about the pictures and the pillar of fire and all sorts of things that they on their websites. But you've got a revelation. So you're glad to be a shield because you know the doctrine. You know God has revealed it to you. You're happy to be a shield. You're a doormat, whatever wants to be. It doesn't matter. It's been revealed to you by the Lord. Then when the king gave his commandment, just when the Christ was being formed. Now let's take them just a moment. Just when the Christ was being formed. All the government came against him and everything. Let's watch them carry them just a little bit before we close. I can see Joseph say, Mary, darling, that cruel king. But she'd say, listen, dear, remember the Holy Ghost told me that his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph, dear, no matter what takes place and what the king says, I am able. I can sit up on the little mule at several miles up around these Rocky Mountains and so forth. Man, your brother Bram said in one place, every Christian is going to have a positive confession. Amen. To say that I'm able. I'm able to travel over the Rocky Mountains and over the hard places. And he said, if we happen to need a little help, there'll be many in the journey because we're not the only family. There's others that suffer the same thing we have. So there's others along the road. And we can kind of go along with the rest of the crowd as they go up the hill and go up into Bethlehem. For from Nazareth, they come up across the mountain. Now we find out that he must have got the little donkey and fed him an extra bunch of hay and some oats that day because the little lady was pretty heavy. So he sets her up on the little mule and puts a bag of water and a few little biscuits and gets the little donkey and gets his stick in the hand. And up the road they start. Over the little mule is staggering and falling. Oh, look what that little fellow is packing. Look at his burden, what it is. He's bearing the Christ to his birthplace. And here this little woman sitting up on there in pain to be delivered, holding to the mane of the little mule and speaking to him as she goes along the road. Now, I hope maybe you can read, you know, the gospel is in layers, and you can read that there's something that can be applied to us in this day that, you know, Brother Ram preached that message, birth pain. As you go along the road and you're packing the word and it's going to come forth, despite all the staggering and falling and all the tribulations of life, yet there's going to be a birth, and that's the objective. And Brother Bram said, finally it began to get dark. Travelers along the road much more able to travel faster, and they'd come on by, and she had to breathe the dust of the rest of them upon horses and carriages and so forth that they could go over it because she had to travel real slow, on the account of her condition. What a cruel thing to send that mother up there in that condition. But I can just imagine now in the little drama as they come up to the top of the hill. Bethlehem sits in a kind of a valley. And on the west side of the mountain of Bethlehem, the mountain where the little trail comes up, the stars begin to come out. And after a while, he comes up to the top of the hill. And once again they look over into the city where they were both born, over in Bethlehem, the lights of the city. Many was there, places was crowded, people on the outside, sleeping on the ground, out along in the fields. And the question, perhaps the first time, then struck Joseph's mind, what will I do if I can't find a place? Because that baby might be born tonight. She's been in pain all day. So now what if that baby is to be born tonight? So the stars begin to come out. You know, and in the Bible, there's prophecy, there's promises that in Isaiah 60, that the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Now that promise had to be fulfilled. In Psalm 72, the kings of Tarshish under the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Now there's the Magus was the name given by the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians and others, to the wise men, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, in other words, to some spiritual people that had been listening to Daniel when the Israelites went down into Babylon, and they had heard that all these things of the prophet that Daniel had shared of the prophecies of Jeremiah and all the other prophets that was going to come, the Messiah was coming. So they were looking for him. And when you look for him, he's going to appear to those that look for him. Brother Brown said nobody saw the light that Paul saw. The same thing. It struck him down on the road up to Damascus, but it was given to Paul. Nobody saw the Holy Ghost coming like a light out of heaven, a dove, but John saw. But he saw it. He bare record. He saw it. The rest of them didn't. He did, for he was looking for it. The Magi were looking for it. And when you are looking for it, when you are ready to receive the real Christmas present, the real Christmas gift, God's Christ gift, the Holy Spirit, you're looking for it. You'll see it. It's a heavenly light sent down from God out of heaven to bear record of Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't take anybody else's word. In the daytime, it was restless. They said, oh, I just can't wait. I don't know how much longer we'll go. We'll probably go to Jerusalem or down to the Holy Lands, Palestine, because that's where the prophecy said that this one is to be born at. So we'll find it sooner or later. Oh, if we could have that perseverance like they did, say, I'm going to find out for myself whether it's right, to search it out in the, like the Bereans did, to see whether this message really is true. If the promise of the Holy Ghost really is for me or not, and to travel and do whatever I need to do to get it. Now you think about, this wasn't just a little excursion with some gas stations along the way where you can stop and get you some beef jerky and some root beer or something. This was a long trip. It was 900 miles that you journeyed all the way from over there in Iraq, and you can see the journey. You think about, how long will it take to go 900 miles? Years. It would take years to go that on camels, stopping along the way, having to worry about people robbing you on the way. But they were after something. They were after a promise because they were looking for Christ appearing. So it says in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll stop after this. He said, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Aren't you glad this morning that we know the reason why we give gifts and why we try to help one another out and why we worship, that we're not just believing in some vain Roman tradition of Sol Invictus or Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas, but we can serve a living God. God bless you.